Bike Session number 11940, Reel 12.
Brigadier P.J. Jeffries, Reel 12. Would you like to make any further comments about the 70th Battalion, Brigadier?
Well, there were two things, really, that started to make themselves felt very much in infantry tactics. And the first thing, of course, was communications. And we started to get equipped with excellent wireless sets. And the whole conception of the battle, or the ideal in a battle, then became quite clear. And the cooperation between tanks, gun, and infantry could be produced at the low level where the battle was actually being fought at infantry level. The wireless cooperation between the tank squadron commander, troop commander, and the infantry battalion or company commander, and again the call for artillery fire from the battalion or company commander to the guns through the forward observation officer was perfected and was developed. Of course, now, talking about it in 1988, it'll all be terribly old hat, but that's how the developments were occurring at that time. And a second thing was that the battle drill for a battle was worked out and made into a thorough drill. And the great emphasis became speed. And everybody worked at high speed in developing an attack. And I think, really, our young soldiers and our young, keen officers who became so keen because they had such keen chaps to command, they dashed about with great keenness and I think demonstrated how quick, how accurate, and with such energy an attack could be developed. It was exhilarating stuff, really.
Do you recall any of the officers that you served with or served under you at this time?
Yes, I recall one or two of them. Vizard, I remember well. And he is now the mainspring in the reunions that occur. I remember Viz very well. He was good. Strange enough, I don't remember my adjutant there, but I'm sure it was a good one. That was a long time ago.
Where did you go after 70th Battalion?
Well, after the 70th Battalion, I had an extraordinary job. They made me an instructor at the Senior Officers' School. And, of course, I had Lieutenant Colonel's badge. But I was only really an acting Lieutenant Colonel because I was a major was my proper rank. But there I was, and I that was at Earlstoke.
What date was this?
I suppose it would be 40, 42. And I instructed there for about a year, I suppose. All these lieutenant colonels used to come, get instructed. It was, again, it was stimulating, interesting, and so forth. But after that, to my joy, I went back to the regiment to command 10DLI. 10DLI had just come back from Iceland, and they were stationed as part of a division at Carmarthen. And we trained hard, and it was a very good battalion. And I look forward to commanding it sometime. But suddenly, after I'd been there about 6 months, I was whistled off to India to command to be G1 of a division arriving in India for immediate action in Burma. And that was where I spent the last 2 years of the war.
Which division was this?
It was 81, and it was composed of West African soldiers, whom I had never seen before, but it went quite well, but we plunged practically straight into fighting on the borders of India and Burma. And in that division I spent the next 2 years, first of all as G1 and then commanded one of the brigades.
Which brigade was it? What number was it? What number brigade was this?
I commanded 5th. 5th West African Brigade from the Gold Coast. They were all Gold Coast soldiers.
Were they good soldiers?
They were jolly good, really. Yes. They fought very well in terribly difficult conditions. They had British officers entirely and British NCOs down to sergeant's rank. So you had that British cadre.
What actions were you in Burma?
Well, the operations with which we were concerned were in the Arakan, and the whole effort during the last those 2 years that we were fighting there was to clear the Arakan Peninsula and take the port of Akyab. And terrible reflection, really, to say that for those 2 years we failed. I suppose there were two divisions in the 15th Corps fighting three divisions. Two divisions on the main part of the Arakan, and 81 West African Division operating in the hills to the eastern flank. And we never reached Akyab. But, of course, the campaign developed in the latter part of the war there by the main attack shifting from the Arakan over into the main part of Burma, the main plain land of Burma. And in the second year that we were operating, when I commanded a brigade, we moved straight down, and the operations on the Arakan gradually folded up as the whole effort shifted towards Rangoon. And the last battle that I took part in was the capture of a place called Myo Hong. And strangely enough, the 81st Division finished with the capture of Myo Hong, and the 82nd West African Division passed through us. And my brigade, having captured Myo Hong, the brigade that passed through me in 82nd Division was commanded then by Abdi Ricketts from the Durham Light Infantry. He was the brigadier of the brigade that passed through me. I remember we had a night together as his brigade took up the running. They went on over the Arakan Yomas into the Rangoon basin.
What date was this, Brigadier?
I'm a bit bad at dates. So long ago were they. It would be late 44, I would think. Late 44. Because we went back then into India and started training immediately for the seaborne assault of Malaya, of the Malay Peninsula, which would have been the most dreadful job, I think. Thank goodness the war collapsed before that.
So you finished the war in India, training in effect for this proposed...
I finished the war in India, training for the assault on Malay, on the Malay Peninsula. Yeah.
Can you outline your progress from there until you retired, in outline?
Well, Harry, do you think it's really interesting? I suppose it is. All right. Yes. I went back. I took my brigade back from India to West Africa. And then I was rather pleased to be continued as a brigadier commanding the Gold Coast District, which I did for 2 years. I quite enjoyed that. But strange country, and rather different to operations, but I got through it all right. But then, after that, I went back to the War Office. And I was a G1 in the training department of the War Office. And it was awful. There wasn't enough to do. And what there was seemed to me to have no relationship to anything that I'd done before or was likely to do afterwards. However, we pushed our pens as hard as we could, and a fearful amount of paper was pushed out. Whether it was any good, I wouldn't know. But I did that for about a year, and then I was lucky. I got appointed as G1 of the CRGS's exercise planning staff, and the CRGS held an exercise at Camberley for all the generals of the army and the allied armies too, once a year, or was it once every 2 years, I can't remember. But anyway, I acted on that staff for 2 years. We did one for General Monty. We did one for General Harding, Field Marshals both of them, of course. And we did one for General Gale. The chief of that planning staff was Brigadier John Anderson, who subsequently became a Lieutenant General. But he was an everlasting friend of mine. And, that was quite amusing. And then I went as Colonel G.S. of First Corps on the Rhine, the OAR. And that was hard work. My corps commander great man, and I quite enjoyed that. But the Korean War started then, and I longed to get back to the regiment somehow. But I was a full colonel. But I asked if I could revert and command the 1st Battalion, which is going out to Korea. And I was allowed to. And it was a marvelous appointment, because it was a marvelous battalion. And I commanded it for the whole of the Korean, the time they were in Korea, which is 1 year. And on conclusion of that, I was asked if I'd taken another appointment. And I said, no, thanks. I couldn't think of anything that would compare with commanding the 1st Battalion of the Downright Infantry. And my father had a little farm. I said, no. I won't go on. I was horrified, you know, by my work at the War Office. And I felt I couldn't face any appointment that would compare with what I'd done. So I packed in.
What year was this?
It would be 1952, I think.
Looking back over all of your experience, who was the finest officer you served under, in your opinion?
I think General West, who commanded the Commonwealth Division in Korea. I think he was the best general that I served under, really. Perhaps it's unfair to compare him, for example, with Field Marshals Monty, Harding, but they were at a different level, really. But divisional commanders, I would think West, a good deal, fearfully good. I had a good divisional commander in Burma, two. First of all, Woolner, a sapper, very good, subsequently a great friend. Severe, meticulous. But couldn't get on with the corps commander, Christensen, which made for great difficulties. He was succeeded by Fred Loftus-Stotman, and he was a very good general, robust, full of go, great chap. Died just the other day. Those are the those three generals. I think I was very lucky to serve under, because they were definitely high class. West, Loftus-Stotman, Woolner.
We haven't mentioned your awards. Can we just mention when you got them and what they were?
Yes, Harry. It's a very difficult subject. And I don't think you can feel that you deserve what you got, probably. Or perhaps you feel that you didn't get what you deserved. I think I got more than I deserved, really. I got mentioned in dispatches for the Dunkirk and Arras business. I got an OBE for being G1 of a division in Burma. I got a DSO for commanding the 5th Brigade in Burma, the capture of Myo Hong. And I got a bar to the DSO for commanding the 1st Battalion in Korea. Well, I don't think I deserve the DSO, quite honestly, for Korea. I did nothing but command a wonderful battalion, which worked like clockwork, marvelously. But I suppose they felt they had to recognize the battalion as good by giving their colonel a DSO. But I don't feel that that was an award personally deserved, but there were, came along.
And all in all, war, peace, have you enjoyed your armed career?
I enjoyed it mightily. And I think my enjoyment really devolves on two factors. It is a wonderfully comradely organization. You spend your time with comrades who are of high caliber, no doubt about it, because the job, particularly job in action, demands people of high caliber. Those who are not of high caliber seem to fade away. And so it is comradeship that is number one in one's enjoyment. And the second is that I don't think military men can really exist in view of their work without a great sense of humor. And the job is simply full of laughter. So there you are, comrades and laughter was what characterized my whole life.
You wanted to add something to the tape, Brigadier, about General Slim.
Yes. You asked me who were the best generals that I served under. And I named three, but of course I forgot General Slim, Field Marshal Slim. I think he was one of the greatest leaders of the war. And as a member of 14th Army, the Forgotten Army, as people called it, I knew him a bit, and of course I served under him. And he was a wonderful general, and he was a wonderful man, and he inspired us mightily. And you must remember that when he came to India and had the job of fighting the war with Japan in Burma, the clouds were very dark and the outlook very grim, and he had very little in the way of material strength to combat it. But he showed himself to be not only a wonderful planner and practitioner of the military art, but he was also a real soldier's general who could talk to us and make us realize what we'd got to do, and above all, what a splendid, hard-thinking, resourceful, caring general he was. That was Bill Slim.